Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Inglés. Nivel avanzado. Comprensión oral. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Writer and climber Red Sail has been reporting to InTouch on his rather uneasy journey towards becoming a guide dog owner. Red's made no secret of the fact that he's not a doggy person. But after much thought and conversations with the Guide Dogs organisation, he decided to take the plunge. He's been telling me what happened.
Fairly early on, I was a bit wrong-footed by just how bouncy she was. I mean, clearly a very intelligent dog, but she was just into everything, wanted an awful lot of attention. And if we got to the front gate of the house, she was straining to head off to the park to go for a run rather than actually paying attention to the fact that I was wanting to turn left to go to the shops. So it was always a bit of a struggle to get her on message.
And was that something you weren't expecting? I mean, she is a guide dog after all, so the idea is that she is with you.
Never having grown up with dogs, I wasn't quite prepared for how strong the bond from her to me was in her eyes. When I talked to the Guide Dog Association, they did explain that they do select dogs who have a degree of neediness to an extent, because that means that they form the bond with their owner a lot better. But I think part of the problem is that I like friendship, and one of the good things about friendship is it tends to be on equal footing. I'm just not cut out to be anybody's god. And I think the fact that the dog did think that I was god, I just found a bit disturbing, to be honest.
I also gather that there were particular situations that she didn't like.
Yes, I take her to yoga, and though she was very good at demonstrating the downward dog position, she would howl all the way through, so I couldn't take her there anymore. And I go swimming in the men's pond on Hampstead Heath, and she would go and stand at the end of the jetty like the French lieutenant's woman and howl until I came back.
Now, I think you've said that the trainers did everything they could. Is there any more that could have been done in a way to prepare you for the experience?
The guide dog instructors actually couldn't have worked harder to keep the two of us together. They were brilliant, and a lot of what they did try did work. But I think the problem is I probably had a bit of an underlying trust issue with trusting my life to a dog. And I never really felt the love that I know she was craving, I suppose. It is a relationship. It's an arranged marriage. And I think either we just weren't the right pairing, or I have issues about being a dog owner that I will probably never overcome. So certainly I don't see any fault on either side. It's just I don't think we were the right couple.
What were you expecting?
I think, like a lot of people, I viewed guide dogs as being a cross between Lassie and Google Maps. But at the end of the day, she was an animal and she was fallible. And I think the problem is, as a blind person, when you do get led into a wheelie bin by a guide dog that's been distracted by a cat, your trust does suffer. And maybe my expectations were too high. Presence.
How did the family react?
We were all upset to see her go. She had occupied quite a place in the house for the previous 8.5 months, but actually all of us were quite relieved to see her go. She was rather like one of those large destructive toddlers who just rushes around and breaks everything, and she was always in everybody's face.
What's it been like going back to the cane?
Hard. I had got used to people getting out of my way. That's the one thing I really did appreciate about having a guide dog. There are two of you and people do just spring out of the way. Yes, it's been a bruising experience. Ella was always a very fast walker, and actually I always felt slightly nervous trying to keep up with her. And it's been really nice to walk slowly round the local streets again. And it's been nice to stop and have conversations with people. I had somebody come up to me last week and say, oh, I haven't spoken to you for 6 months. And I'm back in charge of my own life.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Writer and climber Red Sail has been reporting to In Touch on his rather uneasy journey towards becoming a guide dog owner. Red's made no secret of the fact that he's not a doggy person. But after much thought and conversations with the Guide Dogs organisation, he decided to take the plunge. He's been telling me what happened.
Fairly early on, I was a bit wrong-footed by just how bouncy she was. I mean, clearly a very intelligent dog, but she was just into everything, wanted an awful lot of attention. And if we got to the front gate of the house, she was straining to head off to the park to go for a run rather than actually paying attention to the fact that I was wanting to turn left to go to the shops. So it was always a bit of a struggle to get her on message.
And was that something you weren't expecting? I mean, she is a guide dog after all, so the idea is that she is with you.
Never having grown up with dogs, I wasn't quite prepared for how strong the bond from her to me was in her eyes. When I talked to the Guide Dog Association, they did explain that they do select dogs who have a degree of neediness to an extent, because that means that they form the bond with their owner a lot better. But I think part of the problem is that I like friendship, and one of the good things about friendship is it tends to be on equal footing. I'm just not cut out to be anybody's god. And I think the fact that the dog did think that I was God, I just found a bit disturbing, to be honest.
I also gather there were particular situations that she didn't like.
Yes, I take her to yoga, and though she was very good at demonstrating the downward dog position, she would howl all the way through, so I couldn't take her there anymore. And I go swimming in the men's pond on Hampstead Heath, and she would go and stand at the end of the jetty like the French lieutenant's woman and howl until I came back.
Now, I think you've said that the trainers did everything they could. Is there any more that could have been done in a way to prepare you for the experience?
The guide dog instructors actually couldn't have worked harder to keep the two of us together. They were brilliant, and a lot of what they did try did work. But I think the problem is I probably had a bit of an underlying trust issue with trusting my life to a dog, and I never really felt the love that I know she was craving, I suppose. It is a relationship. It's an arranged marriage. And I think either we just weren't the right pairing, or I have issues about being a dog owner that I will probably never overcome. So certainly I don't see any fault on either side. It's just I don't think we were the right couple.
What were you expecting?
I think, like a lot of people, I viewed guide dogs as being a cross between Lassie and Google Maps. But at the end of the day, she was an animal and she was fallible. And I think the problem is, as a blind person, when you do get led into a wheelie bin by a guide dog that's been distracted by a cat, your trust does suffer. And maybe my expectations were too high. Presence.
How did the family react?
We were all upset to see her go. She had occupied quite a place in the house for the previous 8.5 months, but actually all of us were quite relieved to see her go. She was rather like one of those large destructive toddlers who just rushes around and breaks everything, and she was always in everybody's face.
What's it been like going back to the cane?
Hard. I had got used to people getting out of my way. That's the one thing I really did appreciate about having a guide dog. There are two of you and people do just spring out of the way. Yes, it's been a bruising experience. Ella was always a very fast walker, and actually I always felt slightly nervous trying to keep up with her. And it's been really nice to walk slowly round the local streets again. And it's been nice to stop and have conversations with people. I had somebody come up to me last week and say, oh, I haven't spoken to you for 6 months. And I'm back in charge of my own life.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Writer and climber Red Sail has been reporting to In Touch on his rather uneasy journey towards becoming a guide dog owner. Red's made no secret of the fact that he's not a doggy person. But after much thought and conversations with the guide dogs organisation, he decided to take the plunge. He's been telling me what happened.
Fairly early on, I was a bit wrong-footed by just how bouncy she was. I mean, clearly a very intelligent dog, but she was just into everything, wanted an awful lot of attention, and if we got to the front gate of the house, she was straining to head off to the park to go for a run rather than actually paying attention to the fact that I was wanting to turn left to go to the shops. So it was always a bit of a struggle to get her on message.
And was that something you weren't expecting? I mean, she is a guide dog after all, so the idea is that she is with you.
Never having grown up with dogs, I wasn't quite prepared for how strong the bond from her to me was in her eyes. When I talked to the Guide Dog Association, they did explain that they do select dogs who have a degree of neediness to an extent, because that means that they form the bond with their owner a lot better. But I think part of the problem is that I like friendship, and one of the good things about friendship is it tends to be on equal footing. I'm just not cut out to be anybody's god, and I think the fact that the dog did think that I was god, I just found a bit disturbing, to be honest.
I also gather that there were particular situations that she didn't like.
Yes, I take her to yoga, and though she was very good at demonstrating the downward dog position, she would howl all the way through, so I couldn't take her there anymore. And I go swimming in the men's pond on Hampstead Heath, and she would go and stand at the end of the jetty like the French lieutenant's woman and howl until I came back.
Now, I think you've said that the trainers did everything they could. Is there any more that could have been done in a way to prepare you for the experience?
The guide dog instructors actually couldn't have worked harder to keep the two of us together. They were brilliant, and a lot of what they did try did work. But I think the problem is I probably had a bit of an underlying trust issue with trusting my life to a dog, and I never really felt the love that I know she was craving, I suppose. It is a relationship. It's an arranged marriage. And I think either we just weren't the right pairing, or I have issues about being a dog owner that I will probably never overcome. So certainly I don't see any fault on either side. It's just I don't think we were the right couple.
What were you expecting?
I think, like a lot of people, I viewed guide dogs as being a cross between Lassie and Google Maps. But at the end of the day, she was an animal and she was fallible. And I think the problem is, as a blind person, when you do get led into a wheelie bin by a guide dog that's been distracted by a cat, your trust does suffer. And maybe my expectations were too high. Presence.
How did the family react?
We were all upset to see her go. She had occupied quite a place in the house for the previous 8.5 months, but actually all of us were quite relieved to see her go. She was rather like one of those large destructive toddlers who just rushes around and breaks everything, and she was always in everybody's face.
What's it been like going back to the cane?
Hard. I had got used to people getting out of my way. That's the one thing I really did appreciate about having a guide dog. There are two of you and people do just spring out of the way. Yes, it's been a bruising experience. Ella was always a very fast walker, and actually I always felt slightly nervous trying to keep up with her. And it's been really nice to walk slowly round the local streets again. And it's been nice to stop and have conversations with people. I had somebody come up to me last week and say, oh, I haven't spoken to you for 6 months. And I'm back in charge of my own life.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract 0.
It's made me very sad, as somebody of plural heritage. I am naturally keen to see borders permeable and be able to move freely culturally and physically. And so I was very much a Remain.
Extract 1.
I think we're all probably going to say something very similar. I was shocked and surprised by the referendum vote, as indeed were Michael Gove and Boris Johnson. They didn't expect to win, and they don't know what to do now. I would like to think that the vote was not a simple one of xenophobia, and was just a kind of generalized protest vote by people who were feeling they had a rough deal from the Tory government. But I would say the answer is get rid of the Tory government.
Extract 2.
And I think, you know, there's been, it's two things. One is the fact that we're so shocked that they could do something that seems frightening and irresponsible. But actually his parents are really angry at being represented as stupid. You know, they've been talked about in the press as being morons because they felt that they weren't happy with it. They had an idea of this European superstate and they didn't like it. So, yeah, it's really difficult. It is quite a personal thing. And I think there's been so much scaremongering as well. I have a lot of friends who work for the big bookseller in the UK called Waterstones. And they were all told before the Brexit vote that if the UK voted for Brexit, there would be lots and lots of jobs lost. They didn't give a reason why. It didn't actually make any sense.
Extract 3.
I come from Northern Ireland, where I do have the right to both British and Irish identities. Neither of them totally represent what I am. And in Northern Ireland, saying you're one or the other is terribly divisive. So I was quite glad to come and live. I came to study in England in the 1970s, and I've lived in England ever since. And what I really liked until now was how tolerant British and English people were. Their own identity was so confident. They didn't really need to push it into other people's faces. And I rather liked that. And I have seen that threatened by a very narrow identity that seems to be coming out of Brexit.
Extract 4.
Yes, well, I grew up in Scotland and lived there until, I think I was 23 when I moved to London to go to college. And when that referendum happened, I didn't get a vote because I lived in England. And I really didn't want Scotland to separate from England. I'm kind of against borders intellectually and also just selfishly. I didn't like that idea of being cut off from home and, as Marianne was saying, orphaned. And I was so relieved when I woke up in the morning and turned on the radio and the country had stayed together and I hadn't had to choose to be an English person or to stop my Scottishness. My children were born in England, my wife is English, and I liked the fact that we were all part of something.
Extract 5.
To me it seems that there's a growing climate of separatism, of walls, talk of borders, walls, division, tension, a rising tension which feels tangible every time I watch the news. And it's like drop those arcade machines where you put in a coin and the whole ledge moves forward, and it seems like the ledge is moving forward, and what is going to be the thing that topples us as human beings into a situation that is uncontrollable. Instead of uniting, it feels to me like we are living in an increasingly fractured society and fractured world, and that feels frightening.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 0.
It's made me very sad, as somebody of plural heritage. I am naturally keen to see borders permeable and be able to move freely, culturally and physically. And so I was very much a Remain.
Extract 1.
I think we're all probably going to say something very similar. I was shocked and surprised by the referendum vote, as indeed were Michael Gove and Boris Johnson. They didn't expect to win, and they don't know what to do now. I would like to think that the vote was not a simple one of xenophobia, and was just a kind of generalized protest vote by people who were feeling they had a rough deal from the Tory government. But I would say the answer is get rid of the Tory government.
Extract 2.
And I think, you know, there's been, it's two things. One is the fact that we're so shocked that they could do something that seems frightening and irresponsible. But actually his parents are really angry at being represented as stupid. You know, they've been talked about in the press as being morons because they felt that they weren't happy with it. They had an idea of this European superstate and they didn't like it. So, yeah, it's really difficult. It is quite a personal thing. And I think there's been so much scaremongering as well. I have a lot of friends who work for the big bookseller in the UK called Waterstones, and they were all told before the Brexit vote that if the UK voted for Brexit, there would be lots and lots of jobs lost. They didn't give a reason why. It didn't actually make any sense.
Extract 3.
I come from Northern Ireland, where I do have the right to both British and Irish identities. Neither of them totally represent what I am. And in Northern Ireland, saying you're one or the other is terribly divisive. So I was quite glad to come and live. I came to study in England in the 1970s, and I've lived in England ever since. And what I really liked until now was how tolerant British and English people were. Their own identity was so confident. They didn't really need to push it into other people's faces. And I rather liked that. And I have seen that threatened by a very narrow identity that seems to be coming out of Brexit.
Extract 4.
Yes, well, I grew up in Scotland and lived there until I think I was 23 when I moved to London to go to college. And when that referendum happened, I didn't get a vote because I lived in England. And I really didn't want Scotland to separate from England. I'm kind of against borders intellectually, and also just selfishly, I didn't like that idea of being cut off from home and, as Marianne was saying, orphaned. And I was so relieved when I woke up in the morning and turned on the radio and the country had stayed together, and I hadn't had to choose to be an English person or to stop my Scottishness. My children were born in England, my wife is English, and I liked the fact that we were all part of something.
Extract 5.
To me it seems that there's a growing climate of separatism, of walls, talk of borders, walls, division, tension, a rising tension, which feels tangible every time I watch the news. And it's like drop those arcade machines where you put in a coin and the whole ledge moves forward, and it seems like the ledge is moving forward, and what is going to be the thing that topples us as human beings into a situation that is uncontrollable. Instead of uniting, it feels to me like we are living in an increasingly fractured society and fractured world, and that feels frightening.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 0.
It's made me very sad, as somebody of plural heritage. I am naturally keen to see borders permeable and be able to move freely, culturally and physically. And so I was very much a Remain.
Extract 1.
I think we're all probably going to say something very similar. I was shocked and surprised by the referendum vote, as indeed were Michael Gove and Boris Johnson. They didn't expect to win, and they don't know what to do now. So I would like to think that the vote was not a simple one of xenophobia, and was just a kind of generalized protest vote by people who were feeling they had a rough deal from the Tory government. But I would say the answer is get rid of the Tory government.
Extract two.
And I think, you know, there's been, it's two things. One is the fact that we're so shocked that they could do something that seems frightening and irresponsible. But actually his parents are really angry at being represented as stupid. You know, they feel like they've been talked about in the press as being morons because they felt that they weren't happy with it. They had an idea of this European superstate and they didn't like it. So, yeah, it's really difficult. It is quite a personal thing. And I think there's been so much scaremongering as well. I have a lot of friends who work for the big bookseller in the UK called Waterstones, and they were all told before the Brexit vote that if the UK voted for Brexit, there would be lots and lots of jobs lost. They didn't give a reason why. It didn't actually make any sense.
Extract three.
I come from Northern Ireland, where I do have the right to both British and Irish identities. Neither of them totally represent what I am. And in Northern Ireland, saying you're one or the other is terribly divisive. So I was quite glad to come and live. I came to study in England in the 1970s, and I've lived in England ever since. And what I really liked until now was how tolerant British and English people were. Their own identity was so confident. They didn't really need to push it into other people's faces. And I rather liked that. And I have seen that threatened by a very narrow identity that seems to be coming out of Brexit.
Extract four.
Yes, well, I grew up in Scotland and lived there until I think I was 23 when I moved to London to go to college. And when that referendum happened, I didn't get a vote because I lived in England. And I really didn't want Scotland to separate from England. I'm kind of against borders intellectually, and also just selfishly, I didn't like that idea of being cut off from home and, as Marianne was saying, orphaned. And I was so relieved when I woke up in the morning and turned on the radio and the country had stayed together, and I hadn't had to choose to be an English person or to stop my Scottishness. My children were born in England, my wife is English, and I liked the fact that we were all part of something.
Extract five.
To me it seems that there's a growing climate of separatism, of walls, talk of borders, walls, division, tension, a rising tension which feels tangible every time I watch the news. And it's like drop those arcade machines where you put in a coin and the whole ledge moves forward, and it seems like the ledge is moving forward, and what is going to be the thing that topples us as human beings into a situation that is uncontrollable. Instead of uniting, it feels to me like we are living in an increasingly fractured society and fractured world, and that feels frightening.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.